Very shortly, we're going to be looking at some food news with the return of Monica. But of course, no Steph on the show today.
No Steph. She is at the wonderful Dubai Opera because, of course, the grand reveal is tomorrow. So she's getting a sneak peek before everybody else, Mark. We've got her on the line right now. So, Steph, just fill us in first. Where are you? What's happening?
I am at the Dubai Opera. Well, it feels really special to be here today because I live across the road, obviously. I've seen this building come out of the ground, been watching it evolve, and then to be inside today for the first ever dress rehearsal, which is the Barber of Seville, it feels kind of unreal, to be honest. Like, coming around, when you actually get through all of the barriers and things, it's quite finished. It's ready to go, so it's incredible. It's big, but it feels really intimate and cozy. Like, I can't believe you could get 2,000 people in there. It doesn't feel, when you're at the back, it doesn't feel like you're at the back. It feels like you could be at the front, if you know what I mean. As I was coming in, I saw a sign for valet parking. You can valet park right outside if you're coming tomorrow, and it's 100 dirhams. I would love to actually get backstage and see the costume department. They just look, it's perfect. Honestly, if you haven't got tickets for this performance yet, you need to get them. DubaiOpera.com.
And you can catch Steph tomorrow. She's going to be live over there at Dubai Opera for the opening night of Placido Domingo. And between 4 and 7 o'clock, you'll hear her with cuts into Drive Live and also Jasper Hope as well, the chief executive of Dubai Opera. That's all coming up tomorrow.
Yep, and for more information on the shows and the tickets, head to Dubai1038.com.
Food news.
Yeah, Food News is back, and so Yay! Is Monica. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. Nursing the end of a cold. And just because I haven't been on Food News doesn't mean I haven't been eating. Bali belly means something completely different. I ate so much food in London, Edinburgh and Bali, so we'll come back and talk about that one day.
Different
but no,
kinds
lovely
of food.
To be back.
Yeah.
Beautiful, very, very nice food. Different kinds of food. Lots of fusion food, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
But I think some of the places in Bali really have got it right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you sent me a music clip to introduce your segment today.
Yes.
So shall we play that? Here
yes.
we go.
This is Nelly Furtado and Josh. Desi style.
So that's your music, Monica.
Yeah, so going carrying on actually with the theme of fusion. I loved that Nelly Furtado thing, and I don't know, maybe one of your listeners will know what the link is between Nelly Furtado. She went to Mumbai, I think, and sort of did a Christmas a concert or something, and that is a perfect, to me, fusion of Punjabi music. So, and that, do you know what the I-hi means?
No.
It's sort of like that whole equivalent of a wolf whistle is sort of all I can say in Punjabi. And there's Nelly Furtado with that kind of beat and everything. So,
nice.
Yeah, fusion of sort of Nelly Furtado and Punjabi music. I thought very apt for what we're going to talk about, which is new wave and lots of fusion Indian cuisine that seems to be sweeping Dubai at the moment.
Do you know what, Monica? Before you get into this, I have to just mention Netflix Chef's Table, Gagan Anand, who has a Michelin star restaurant in Bangkok. He's amazing. He's so talented. But he was talking about Indian fusion, and he said a few years back, no one liked the idea. Everyone said it was too gimmicky. It was insulting original cuisine. It's quite an interesting debate.
I think it is, and I've also been asked to write an article for Al Arabiya on this whole topic. But so I've been interviewing, chatting kind of behind the scenes, behind the meals we're having, to the chefs. And I think it's interesting that he says there isn't anything authentic about it, and they're trying to sort of make it something that it isn't. Because the restaurants that we're talking about today, we're talking about Jodhpur, and we're talking about Carnival as well.
Yeah.
Both chefs are extremely passionate about their craft, about the influences of their childhood, and they both grew up in India, and they're bringing ingredients and flavors and ideas that are very, very original and very Indian. They might be presenting them in a very, very different and new way, but I think this is a very new phenomenon. Gimmicky, take your point completely. I think there is a lot of that going on, and both restaurants, again, are right, I think, to listen to constructive feedback from diners. Very often it's sort of the media to begin with. And if they take that on board, then they're going to do well.
Mm. All right, then. So where are we going to take a look at in Dubai this
week? Okay, so this restaurant called Jodhpur, have either of you heard of it or been there? Not the place, the actual restaurant.
I was going to say the city, yes, but the restaurant,
yes, no. Rajasthan, absolutely. Well, this one opened a few months ago, but it just came kind of into the fore, I think, toward the end of the summer, and then we went into Ramadan and holiday, so I tried it probably later than I ought to have done. It's actually at the Maruj Ratana. Now, I don't know if you know the Maruj Ratana. When you go downstairs, there's a little complex of three quite different venues, and this restaurant, Jodhpur, is one of them. Very passionate chef there called Pradeep Kullar, and we had one of their sort of tasting menus. And again, sort of very, very innovative ways of what he's doing with traditional Indian food. I liked some things very, very much. I wasn't wild about the ambience, but the passion and his sort of childhood memories. So one of the dishes he presents are basically just a sort of flaky, savoury, puff pastry kind of biscuit with cumin seeds on. So you'd have that instead of crisps or something that you'd have with drinks at the beginning. But they're presented on a sort of very modern Indian little scooter. And I thought that was quite nice. And instead of having tomato ketchup or a tomato sauce with it, he's done a sort of yogurt Laban type of sauce with it. So he's done things like that. He's got a prawn dish that I highly, highly, really do recommend. Lemon pickle prawns. Now, pickle with Indian food is like having chapati, it's having rice and dal, it's having your roti and sabzi. So everyone would know what pickle is. And he's taken lemons, and they're blackened lemons. So preserved them for a very, very long time, turned them into a very, very nice masala, made this prawn thing. But the fusion thing comes in because he serves them with a beetroot carpaccio and oregano. Neither of those things are Indian, but he's gone true to his roots with the lemon pickle.
Yeah.
So he's doing things like that. He also does, and I think these are probably on every food blogger's Instagram, a little palate cleanser that I think I've put on mine as well. Have you seen that, Zara, with a little pressure cooker?
No, I haven't. I'm a bit scared of pressure cookers. Not going to lie, Monica.
Well, this one isn't a real pressure cooker. It's a little baby pressure cooker. So kind of little children who love playing kitchen and you know, sort of food-related things. It's little teeny tiny pressure cookers. And he serves his palate cleanser in this pressure cooker, and there's all this sort of liquid nitrogen and dry ice going on and all the rest of it. I don't know, you know, if you need to do this. And do we need palate cleansers between Indian courses? Very nice palate cleanser. It was a mango cranberry, very sort of cold sorbet type thing. But to me, when I'm having a very, very spicy, savoury course or courses, then I want a very definite sweet thing to finish. I don't want to have a fairly sweet thing and then go back to savoury things and back to sweet things. But I think that's because it's Indian food. I could be wrong, but this whole palate cleanser thing, again, is a sort of real fashion in these new fusion, new wave Indian restaurants.
I don't know. I think the palate cleanser sounds rather nice with all that dry ice coming out of it.
I like the idea because it's fun and it's playful.
It is, definitely.
But the idea of a palate cleanser with Indian food, I don't know.
You have to try it. I think the restaurant's definitely worth a try. Everyone comes in and says, so where's the Rajasthani food? Because it's called Jodhpur. There isn't any.
Okay.
It's just called Jodhpur. But I think from the new menu that's evolving as we speak, there is going to be an offering from Rajasthan. So that's the namesake of the restaurant. Definitely worth a visit. I wasn't wild about the decor.
Okay. Where's your next port of call then?
So next port of call is actually a restaurant that's not yet opened. It's opening on the 3rd of September.
It's brand new.
Yeah. It's called Carnival. I don't know if either of you have heard or seen anything about that restaurant.
Not yet. This is the first I've heard.
Yeah, not so much buzz about it yet.
No, probably because it hasn't opened. Interesting in that it's the newer branch, not the branch. I mean, it comes from Tresind, which is at the Nasima Royal Hotel. So it's actually called Carnival by Tresind. So they've got a sort of bit of a heritage, if you like, of doing things that are a bit avant-garde, a bit different. Decor first. Okay, so the whole restaurant is completely black. It's black ceilings, black walls. They've got rose gold, very popular on certain high-branded watches. I'm not sure in terms of trees. Rose gold bare trees throughout the restaurant. And then when we went in on Friday night for dinner, red and green helium balloons. So I think this is kind of sort of lending itself to the whole carnival feel. Mm-hmm. You walk in and you think, gosh, there's lots of colours, there's dark, it's kind of like a bit, is it a nightclub, is it?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Expect the unexpected. And it sort of certainly was quite unexpected, but not in the way, perhaps if you were at the act at the Shangri-La, it was sort of unexpected in terms of what you're going to eat. And again, there's this sort of emphasis on totally turning things around in terms of what you eat. So let's start with one thing I thought was genuinely innovative and I really liked, and I hadn't had it before. It was, wait for it, a dal cappuccino.
How does that work in terms of texture, taste,
absolutely,
look?
Absolutely. Well, it doesn't look very Instagrammable, so that's why there isn't, for a start, and they've got that wrong, but and very well done on them because they're focusing on the food as opposed to sort of how this thing would look on Instagram. So it wasn't, I don't know what number course it was. It was sort of way down on our sort of 15.
You've got 15 courses.
Courses, little teeny tiny taster portions. I mean, you will not go out hungry, but they wanted the media and the bloggers and the journalists and all the rest of it to dip in a feel of the types of things that you could be offered on either a vegetarian menu and a non-vegetarian menu. And one thing that completely escaped me, but I picked up from some other blogger, was the one colour balloon, I guess the green balloon, the helium balloon, was tied to the string of a scrolled up vegetarian menu, completely went over my head, and the red one was tied to the scroll of the non-vegetarian menu. But anyway,
oh, they thought so hard about that, Monica.
Yes, and I completely, so anyway. So they do that. So the dal cappuccino is, I can't remember what course it was, but it comes in a coffee cup. It looks like a cup of coffee, and you think, my God, what do I do with this? But if you think about it, dal, like a soup, you could have lentil soup very, very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have soup in a cup. So they presented it in a cup, so that's very good. But what they do that's very different about it, it's light, it's very, very, there isn't a lot of texture to it. It's kind of like a very thick cup of coffee, if you're thinking about it in terms of coffee. But they've put mushroom truffle ghee in it as well. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is just going to be, I'm sorry, really not appetizing at all. It's very, very nice. And I drank all of mine. Younger teenage daughter didn't work with her at all, but my husband and I both really liked it. So that was something new, innovative. I don't know if you'd call it fusion or whether it's standing on its head, but it was very, very nice. I like that one.
Yeah, it sounds like quite an interesting place, this. So, you know, the whole, I mean, very unusual things on the menu. And,
unusual things on the menu.
The whole decor thing as well.
And have either of you heard of a jalebi at all? Indian dessert. Jalebi?
Very sweet, yeah.
Very sweet. Do you know what they look like?
Are they bright orange?
Correct. Yeah, so they're sort of bright orange, swirly type sweets, as you
like
rightly
a pretzel.
Say. Yeah, thinner and smaller. And I actually looked up before I came, obviously, how they're made. And so imagine just kind of like flour with sugar, and then you make a kind of batter out of them, and you put it in a piping bag, and then you swirl very quickly the batter that comes out of the piping bag into quite hot oil, and they come out very crispy, and then you dip them in sugar syrup. And why anybody would want to eat anything like that is beyond me. But anyway, a complete sort of Indian staple, and Indian people love jalebis. So you associate them with something very, very sweet. But what they've done at Carnival is they've actually got the jalebi type course much higher up on the menu. And they've turned it into something very savoury. So he's actually turned it into, you know, the street food, the chaat, the sort of tangy tamarind yogurt, crispy little pastry shell underneath, and the jalebi thing on top, which is not sweet at all. But when you look at it, you expect to eat something sweet. It's not called something sweet, and you eat it, and you think, oh, okay, that was good, and we liked it. But what do people think about this? Do we need jalebis to be salty?
Well, Dubai Eye 103.8, we're celebrating all things radio over the next few months. And as part of this, we're giving you the opportunity to win two flights to Rome. All you got to do is go on to our website at weloveradio.ae and tell us why you love listening to the radio. We've had loads of comments so far saying radio is my daily dose of happiness. Radio is a way to stay current. A daily commute without the radio would be horrible. So get on there, put your thoughts in there, and you could be winning those two flights to send you to the city of Rome.
Food news.
Yeah, Monica's with us, back with us. It's great to have her back on the show talking food news. We're looking at fusion, Indian, new wave Indian cuisine and fusion. We were just in a restaurant a moment ago called Carnival.
Carnival, that's
when's
right.
that due to open again, and where's it going to be?
Yeah, it's actually going to open on the 3rd of September, but I'm sorry to disappoint everyone that it's full on opening night. So jolly well done to Carnival. But it's open after that for lunch and dinner, and it has actually now got its alcohol license as well. So you can go for lunch, you can go for a few bar bites, or you can go for a proper dinner, a la carte or a full tasting menu. I think the big 15 course thing is about 400 dirhams. But if you want to go a la carte, they've said to me it's around 200, depending on what it is that you choose.
Right, then. So that's Carnival. Now, we mentioned an Eid treat. So what you got in store for us?
Well, Eid around the corner and sort of like literally we've kind of just gone back to school and then we have a break and then we go for Eid again. But this is a really nice little deal. In fact, me and a group of food bloggers yesterday inaugurated this Arabic cooking class I've never been to before. I don't know if either of you have done any Arabic cooking or tried your hand at it.
I've tried my hand at tabbouleh and fattoush, but my Arabic friends have come over and just said it's just not good enough.
Not good enough.
Maybe Zara.
You could go along to the Almeida restaurant. So it's actually on the first floor of the Hilton Doubletree Hotel. A very, very pleasant restaurant. I walked into it after we'd actually had dinner at Ramusake, it's a Japanese one. And it's just sort of next door to that. And I thought, oh gosh, this is a really nice space, really beautiful floor tiles, very bright. So they've got a kitchen that's actually made for doing kind of cookery demonstrations and classes. So the deal is that you do this Arabic cooking class under the watchful eye of two or three different chefs. I think one's definitely from Syria, one's Moroccan, and then you've got an Indian person as well who sort of who's very knowledgeable and does quite a lot with them. And you do three or four different dishes within the space of a couple of hours, two and a quarter hours, and then you eat what you've made at lunch, and then the chefs sit down and they talk to you as well. And what's 199 dirhams, I don't know how you feel about that in terms of a price for the cooking class and what you're eating, and obviously sort of coffee, tea, and
a
welcome drink before you run. And then for another 50 dirhams, you can use the pool. And I didn't realise, I sort of went out onto the terrace of the restaurant. It's a huge pool that they have at the Hilton Doubletree. Really nice swimming pool. And you get beach access as well.
Can you use it before you do the cooking and you
do
the eating?
I asked exactly that, Zara. I said, oh gosh, wouldn't that be really nice to go swim, hang out on the beach, build up a bit of an appetite? They said, absolutely, why not?
Woo-hoo.
So you could do that, but they'd need to give you some really nice tidbits to start with, because as soon as you come in from swimming, you don't want to wait the best part of an hour and a half doing your cooking and then sitting down to eat your lunch. But it's a new thing. It's on every Tuesday. You do need to ring them up to book on the Dubai Eye website, the latest link, which is called New Wave Indian Cuisine. I think I've got the number and the email there. And there's a few quite nice videos on my Instagram as well about how we got on. It's actually very, very interesting to watch food bloggers trying to cook at the same time, because it's not one of these you sit here and then you watch the chef do everything and you get a recipe sheet and then they say, here's what I made earlier. He says, right, okay, off you come. And they had them coring courgettes and mixing up lamb. And try doing that and staring with steam when you've got the food bloggers with their cameras in one hand.
Taking selfies.
Not selfies, of like what's going on, and trying to wipe away the wisps of steam that muck up the lens because you can't see anything. And they're trying to cook at the same time. And the chefs hadn't really kind of experienced this before. So we were an interesting group of guinea pigs to try this class on yesterday.
Okay.
But it was good at the Almeida.
So we can do that over Eid.
Yeah, I can do that every Tuesday. Every Tuesday till the end of the year.
Right then, we're going to squeeze in one more on our food news, Monica.
Okay, well, Mark, I don't know if you remember, we spoke when we were at Roberto's and there was a sort of little announcement that they were going to have a very affordable Italian, and they were going to use the economies of scale because of all the ingredients that they get at Roberto's anyway and open something sort of much more reasonable. So I don't know if either, and then we had this whole joke about it's called Mercato, and if somebody says, I'll see you at Mercato, are you going to be at the completely wrong end of town? Have either of you been to Mercato and DIFC?
No, I was again thinking about Mercato on Beach Road.
I've been to the other one, but not this one.
Not this one. So it's just a little Italian cafe opposite Boca in DIFC, Gate Village. We all know where that is. We just walked in for lunch. I mean, it wasn't a review or anything. We had some people, you know, who were staying in the address hotel. They had a child. We just wanted to go somewhere sort of quick, and it was in the middle of the afternoon. We knew this place was open. So you're getting homemade pastas, homemade pizzas, very nice sort of sage and pumpkin type stuffing for about 45 dirhams a plate of pasta, which I didn't think was too bad. 38 dirhams for a kind of decent sized margherita pizza, very crispy underneath.
Yeah.
And you're sitting in a very, very pleasant environment. Cappuccino's about 18 dirhams. Have a bit of a bee in my bonnet at the moment, coming back from England, paying lots of money for cappuccinos, but 18 dirhams is okay. Very, very nice place. Very, very accommodating staff. They couldn't have been more helpful. Some fresh juices that are sort of squeezed for you and served in little bottles. And you know it's very, very fresh because this little boy had an apple juice or something. Nice and green when it came out. And it very quickly went very brown. So I guess that means it's very fresh you know, nothing is kind of odd is going on. So I liked it. And if you wanted to meet someone in DIFC, you didn't want to go somewhere very, very fancy, or even sort of off peak time. So this is at the weekend and you're around there. Or you've done all the art galleries, or you're sort of showing people around, then it's a kind of, it's a nice option. It's not like a kind of chain cafe that's downstairs. It's something that's independent, but it certainly isn't anywhere near the prices that you'd pay in any of those high-end places. So yeah, Roberto's has done it. So well done to its little sister, Mercato.
And you'd go back, Monica?
I would go back, yeah. I'd rather go to somewhere sort of slightly more, maybe to Roberto's. But yeah, no, I would definitely go back.
Right. What did you have?
I had the sage pasta that I was talking about.
Oh, yes.
They had it in a white sauce, and I said, could I have it in a tomato sauce? And I tried another type of pasta, and we shared a couple of pizzas, and they had a very nice pear, and it was kind of like a cheese. I want to say gorgonzola, possibly cheese salad with that, and a cappuccino.
Fantastic. And all that, of course, is going to be on Do in Dubai.
It's all on Do in Dubai, yep, on the blog.
Fantastic, Monica. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, absolutely.